Okay, I'm John Corr. I'm the managing partner of a consulting firm. We work mainly with service and technology firms who are unhappy with their level of profitability, margins, and revenues.
John, how did you first connect with Bill?
How did I first connect? Oh, gosh, that's a very good question. I've done some work with Robert Middleton, who's probably the guru of service business marketing. And Robert uses Bill lots and lots to interview him on his own website and his products. So I thought, I must ring up Mr. Metcalf and see what he could do for me. And that was the start of a beautiful relationship.
Well, now, at that time, what was going on in your business that you thought Bill could help you with?
There's a great American guy called Harry Beckwith who's written a book called Selling the Invisible, which is all about the challenges of service businesses, because nobody knows the hell what you do and how you could possibly help them. So the major challenge for service businesses, whether it's consulting firms, lawyers, accountants, is trying to help clients understand how you could possibly help them, what situations is your help appropriate, and what, if any, results can you expect to get from them. And shame on us as a profession, we normally bore the pants off with the description of our job and what we do. Bill has a, I think, quite a fresh and an interesting perspective on that. He goes to your key clients and asks them to talk about their business, their challenges. And in the course of doing it, at least as me as a customer of Bill, potential clients of mine get a much clearer picture about the situations that we could possibly be of help and the results that they could expect from working with us, and then what I'm like and what we're like to work with them.
Well, then what?
That's a very long answer to a simple question.
Great. Yeah, it was great. What then did Bill do for you specifically? I mean, how many interviews?
I ought to be frank, I run a tiny firm, but I go head-to-head with Accenture, who are the world's greatest consulting business, multi-billion dollar turnover. They're a fantastic business. I've worked with them, competed with them around the world. They're just a huge machine. They're absolutely brilliant. And McKinsey, who have the absolute number one world brand for being at top of the profession. And bottom line, my clients who tend to be at the CEO level, COO or CFO, they have to think that I am and my firm's a better choice than the world's very best firms, normally on very sensitive, very critical projects. So you go, hell on earth, how could you ever persuade somebody to go, instead of with the world's greatest and finest and best track records, use some tiny firm out of London that you've never heard of? And I think what Bill lends to that is, at least for me, he's done interviews with three of my key clients who, at least in Europe, are top celebrity CEOs, probably the best CEO in retail and financial services and media. And they talk about their challenges, how they've overcome fantastic business challenges and built great businesses. And in the course of those conversations, there's some discussion about how I've helped them be successful. And at least for anybody hearing those, they go, my goodness, that John Corr and his firm must be interesting people. It would be interesting to give them a call and have a discussion.
Well, it was also very clear in those conversations that you, John, are particularly good in, well, customer-facing situations, as you folks across the pond like to call it. Bill's whole approach to marketing is based on discovering what your customers really value. Now, what do you think this is so important in your work with your clients?
Well, number one, customers always buy for their own reasons. God knows with big companies, the size and scale of them, you get busy all day. I know it sounds terrible if you're running a small business, but in big corporate companies, it's also easy to lose sight of the customer. And they're the ones that drive the revenues into your business at the end of the day. So sorry for anybody listening to this and saying, God, that's the most banal revelation ever, that you should really focus on your customers and what drives them and what they want. But I was reading, poor old Peter Drucker died the other day, 96. I've been rereading some of his great works. And a couple of things that come out of it is, first, his explanation as to why you should focus on the customer. The second, for anybody who either works in a big business or would like to win business with large companies, he explains why the life and times of a senior executive stop them doing the absolute fundamentals of business. The frustrations, the difficulties, what it's like to work in a corporate environment and what takes them away from the customer. So it's always good to have a wake-up call from someone like Bill or otherwise, is getting back to what is it the customer really wants and values and giving it to them.
Well, yeah, there's nothing trite about what you said, because you and Bill have teamed up to discovering those customer values in a much deeper way, correct?
Yeah, some of the mechanics for those who've worked in big businesses is typically get so large that responsibilities get chopped up. So you might have a marketing or customer-facing organization, so they're interested in customers, but they have no responsibility for day-to-day operations and the cost side of the business. On the other side of the house, you get operations people or call center operations people. They're then driven down on cost, you know, and then being asked to nickel and dime their operations, being forced to put them out overseas or outsourcing them to take costs out of the business. And these businesses get so huge that they forget that the left hand and the right hand have to work together.
Yes, you do have a unique perspective, John, in seeing how Bill's client value conversations can work in a larger corporate setting. Now, do you think Bill could train people in corporations to have these conversations?
Yeah. Well, one of the bits I'm working with a big American service, well, a global services and technology company based here out of the States. And it's very easy if you're from a technical background or a sales background to sort of get stuck into your soap pipe. So sales staff are great about getting the emotions out of people and the problems out of people, but maybe not in a structured way that you can then work on them. Technical people or IT people are great at getting out the technical details, but not what's motivating people. And I've had Bill working with the client that I've had here, doing some conversations himself, but also training some of the people here how they could have a structured conversation with the clients to get some really valuable insights out of them.
Yeah, that is unique.
I was going to elaborate that. I was going beyond the bleeding obvious, because you get loads of people come in and say, well, you know, we can help your revenues or reduce your costs. And you go, yeah, right, thanks, motherhood and apple pie. And what Bill's good is helping fly the plane at a lower level, is going, well, what, you know, okay, well, you want to make more revenues in sales. That's bleeding obvious. Well, what is it that's stopping you? You know, and then what lies behind that? I know the Japanese have five whys, and go back asking why five times, and maybe Bill's not as persistent as that. But he's training the people to get an understanding at a deeper level beyond the superficial.
It sounds like he's more creatively breaking it down.
Yeah, I also put on the human bit is he's great at warming them up. So when I was on the buying side in a big corporate, there's all these people who come in and say, I'd like to be your partner, tell me your problems, and I'll come and fix them. You go, yeah, yada, yada, yada. What Bill's good is helping the client or his clients build that rapport, build that level of trust and confidence in order that then people are more open to answer your questions.
Well, that does remind me of a specific example, because Bill has interviewed some pretty high-level CEOs for you.
Yeah.
How did he help you position these interviews in order to get people like, well, Philip Rowley, the CEO of AOL Europe, to get excited about giving the interviews?
Yeah, well, the bits is, if they rang up and said, give John a testimonial, I'm sure they would, but that would probably bore the pants off them, is what Bill was good is saying, you know, it would be, which I think is true, it would be really interesting for people listening to that, is to understand what's going through your head, what are the real challenges in business that you were facing up to, and how did you think through and overcome those? And doing that in a really thoughtful way, which is a big difference from somebody just writing, yeah, John's the greatest consultant I've ever worked with, love and kisses.
Although that's nice, too.
That would be nice if I ever got any of those.
And Martin Toogood had reportedly done
nearly
2 years when
yeah.
you interviewed him.
Martin Toogood absolutely hates interviews. So one, he doesn't like doing them, and second, he's now... he's bought out with venture capital of a firm called Ilva, which is the Danish version of IKEA. It's sort of IKEA done smarter and better. One of Martin's ones was, well, why should I ever give my trade secrets around for my competitors to listen to and then go beat me up in the market? And Bill was good around saying, well, it's an opportunity for you to reach out to potential customers, potential investors, potential supplier partners, and for them to really get to understand what you're about and your firm's about, Martin. Bill's got a knack of getting people excited and talking about them and their business in a really open way. And then once people start to open up, they really start to flow. So I think the traditional bit is Bill rings up and says, can you talk to 10 for 15 minutes? And then he ends up with about 2 to 3 hours conversation because people really get into the heart of it. Sorry, just as I'm speaking, the other bit I flag up for the people being interviewed, quite frequently Bill draws out from them insights that they may not have been top of mind for themselves. So part of the value added is for them, Bill, getting them to think structurally through some of those challenges and draw their insights, and they go, got it, I know how I go about those things now.
Did you ever hear any feedback from them as responding to being interviewed by Bill?
Yeah, Philip, you can listen to that one there. Martin loved his. Andy Homer loved his. If I take Andy and Martin, they are men of few words. If you ever speak to them on the phone or get their emails, you know, you get beyond 3 words, you've done magic. So Bill did one phenomenal job of sparking their interest and excitement if you listen to the interviews.
Johnny, as you well know, Bill is now teaching people to do client value conversation themselves.
Yeah.
What value, aside from the obvious testimonials, do you think people will get from learning Bill's techniques?
Well, if I think of myself, and I guess most of your listeners in the same spot, and shame on me, you often puzzle, why on earth did the client ever buy from you? And the client's probably thinking, God knows why I ever bought this contract or engagement. And what Bill, I think, is brilliant at is uncovering the underlying value for you and your clients of working together that may not have been entirely obvious for you. So everybody signs up for their own reasons, but maybe the true drivers of that are not top of mind and apparent. I was just thinking, if you think of a technology business, they say, well, you know, we bought the Google Blaster 4 with Windows XP with 60 megabytes of memory. Well, the client never really bought for that. They probably bought, you know, because they've had too many complaining customers and the orders aren't going out on time. So what Bill's good at doing is undercovering the true underlying reason why people are buying and the true underlying value of the service that was delivered. And then when people grasp that, he's good at, if you've listened to conversations, and saying, well, are there other areas where you could apply exactly that same technique or thought to create value for you, either to the end buyer or his client? And they go, oh, so 1 minute I thought I had no opportunities, now I've got 50 of them.
So in going a layer deeper, or maybe more than a layer deeper, Bill is not only uncovering things for you, he's uncovering ideas for your clients.
Yeah, if you're running an executive in a business, or I guess anyone running it is, you're working flat out on that. Most people get up pretty damned early in the morning and they're working pretty damn late at night and doing loads of stuff over the weekend. You just have very little time to think. You know, a lot of business people are under constant pressure for one reason or another. And what Bill can do is draw out an underlying pattern and then say, okay, if you were to apply that in other areas, where are the other opportunities? Or what are the other problems that you're struggling with that this piece of insight gives you some leverage on? For the want of actually taking time out and doing it, people never get to make that connection.
John,
sorry, another long answer to a simple question.
No, it's very interesting because it reflects on something you said. This pretty much, you know, goes through what Bill had outlined for us to do. But I understand why Bill will sometimes interview for a half hour, 45 minutes, and an hour, because the longer I listen to you, John, your ideas and your insights are just really getting much more interesting. And,
yeah, well, if I give you an example off the Ilva interview. So big issue for Martin was getting his stores down in the UK, and they had some issues there with the subcontractors and others. Now, Martin has such an ability to motivate and fire his employees up, get them to walk across fire for them. Now, in the course of the conversation with Bill, Martin twigged, well, what I do with my own team, I could actually be doing with these people who don't work for me. And then I could get them fired up and I have the same passion and enthusiasm for what I'm trying to do as I have. You know, at one level, it's obvious, Martin, you have an incredible ability to inspire people. Well, there's a bunch of people that need inspiring that you need to be working with you. Now, it seems obvious in retrospect, but that's something that came to Martin in the conversation with Bill.
Why do you think Bill is the guy to teach this concept to other people? We know he performs it well, but what in Bill reveals to you that he could also teach it?
All right. There's probably two, as they say, of high performers. There's the best and the very best. some people are absolute naturals at anything, whether it's golf, sport or business, but they don't really know how they do it. So they have a great load of success, but it's not readily repeatable. The very best are able to draw out what they're doing and what the repeatable success algorithm or story is. And I think Bill is good at, he's got a recipe, he's worked out what's going on there. And having done that, obviously he has his own charm and wonderful abilities of his own. But he could get people rapidly up to speed with his own 30 years of experience. So I suppose you could have another life as Bill Metcalf and spend 50 years getting as good as he is. Or Bill could go and teach you it in a day.